Blog Talk Radio.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier.
Thanks so much, friends, for tuning in. I'm back on the line, Harley Schlanger. How are you, Harley?
I'm good, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing well, and out of the gate, I just wanted to get your thoughts on silver and gold, and then we're going to turn our attention to politics. Listen to this soundbite from my friend Bix Weir.
Today, I have nothing to talk about. Why? Because the silver market has broken. Broken. You won't see it in the number, but you'll see it in the volume. Yesterday, I wrote it down. I have the exact number. 99.97%. 99.97% of the trades on the COMEX were fraudulent. I was freaking out yesterday from the day before's volume. Look what happened here on the volume of the COMEX yesterday. 250,000 contracts yesterday. 1.25 billion ounces trade hands, and open interest does not change. It's as if nothing happened.
So, 1 billion paper ounces of silver in one day. They don't mine that much physical out of the ground in an entire year globally, Harley. It's just madness.
Well, you know, when people ask about precious metals, you know, the obvious answer is that when paper money collapses, people will turn to something of value. The problem is, in the meantime, the volume of paper money will enable people to manipulate the prices of the precious metals. And so the average person who's questioning, should I get involved? Should I put some money into this or not? Has no way of knowing whether it's going up or down. It's not a supply-demand thing. It's really a manipulated market. And you know, as I said, we're going to see, unless there's a significant change in economic policy, we're going to see a crash of the dollar at some point in the future, at which point then these precious metals will probably appreciate. But in the meantime, it's a crapshoot. And it's controlled by people with big money and access to the free money coming from the central banks.
Well, that's right. If there's a glimmer of hope, it's that the DOJ has called J.P. Morgan's precious metals desk a criminal enterprise, and they're being investigated under RICO statutes. But you know what? J.P. Morgan is Rockefeller. It's all a big club, as I continue to make videos about the big club and the plight of child and human trafficking around the world and these big international criminal banks. You're right. It is a bit of a crapshoot, but we're going to keep our eye on that story because the dollar's purchasing power will not remain where it is today for very much longer, in my view. Harley, I wanted to turn our attention to our loss of freedoms in this country. Bill Benny did a presser on Thursday, the 24th, and he talked about the security state and our loss of freedoms, and I think it's very important because I don't know what life is like over where you are, Harley, but in this country, the demonic Democrats want to close everything down again. And look no further than Ted Wheeler in Portland, or de Blasio in New York, or Lori Lightfoot in Chicago, who is pledged her allegiance to a new world order. I've seen her say it now twice. These people are out of control. What are things like in Europe?
Well, in Europe, people are living in a fantasy world. what everyone's saying is, oh, don't worry, pretty soon we'll lift all the lockdowns, all the restrictions, and things will get back to normal, and the European Union is going to kick in some money, and it's all going to be fine. Now, the European Commission had a three-day meeting, almost a four-day meeting, where heads of state were literally locked in a room for almost 4 days, and what they came up with was a 750 billion euro package, which is about a little more than $800 billion. But it's partly loans. It's most of it is going to the Green New Deal. And we see the effects of this already. Today, Daimler-Benz announced they're going to have 30,000 layoffs. So this is Mercedes, one of the premier auto companies in the world, is going to lay off 10% of its workforce and shut down at least two of its plants in Germany. Also, the day before, ThyssenKrupp, one of the largest steel producers in the world, based also in Germany, announced 32,000 workers are going to go on to short time. So we're seeing a collapse of the physical economy, and the population, for the most part, is still sitting around twiddling their thumbs, playing a parlor game of deciding which party is going to collapse first or next, but doing nothing about it. It's at least in the United States, while there may be chaos, there are people who are angry and people in motion. And the question is, can we get those people in motion behind a coherent set of principled programs that will take power back to the people and run it the way a republic is supposed to run?
Well, one of the things that troubles me about people, or at least sheeple people in this country, is their complacency and their willingness to buy these official stories about COVID. And we don't have to get very deep into that because YouTube would just terminate the video if we did, but I'm shocked to see so many people throwing tantrums, attacking people in grocery stores, screaming at their neighbors for not wearing a mask. How are people so brainwashed, Harley? There's no good science behind the masks. In fact, the science suggests, and the labels on the boxes suggest, that these masks don't protect against the virus, and people are freaking out about their neighbors not wearing masks. Meanwhile, their government is printing their currency into oblivion, and they don't seem to care about that. You want to talk about mixed up priorities. So many of these sheeple people in this country have just lost their minds because they think they don't know the truth about anything.
Well, that's by design. I mean, I have a slightly different view of this. I think the politicization of the mask issue is a sign of the dysfunction in the political system. You know, the idea that your political identity depends on whether you wear a mask or not is a way to take people's minds off the bigger picture, like you just mentioned, the fact that we're destroying what's left of the physical economy with this printing of dollars and giving the dollars to the speculators. Where's the outrage over that? Now, at the same time, we have something that you mentioned, the Bill Binney press conference today. That was on LaRouche PAC. We sponsored it with Bill Binney and Kurt Levy. And the topic, the essential topic, was Binney's expose of the fact that there never was a Russian hack. And I think this is another example of the dysfunction. We still hear Biden yesterday said he was briefed by intelligence agents that the Russians are going to disrupt the 2020 election. Now, we know that the Russians did nothing to disrupt the 2016 election. So why are people still talking about that? So Binney did a press conference to expose the fraud of the Russian hacking story. And there's so much evidence in that. I don't think we need to go through all of the details, but if people want to see it, they can go to LaRouchePAC.com and watch it. But the other thing that he did bring up, which I think is more germane to what we're discussing, is the way the intelligence community blocked the proposal that he and Levy made back in 2001 about how to narrow the data collection so that you actually are looking for bad guys instead of gathering metadata on every phone call, every email, every social media connection that every American made. And of course, the National Security Agency went with the big program, the big metadata collection program, and Levy and Binney left and they were prosecuted. And you know, what they said in this press conference today is that if we don't turn this thing around, if we don't put the people who ran Russiagate behind bars, if we don't put the people who are spying on us behind bars, we're not going to have a country left, because a country requires an actual dialogue among citizens who act as members of a republic, who are responsible for the institutions of self-government. And if you take away the ability to process information, to have ideas, if you have the censorship that's going on, if you say something that's against the established line, you end up getting kicked off YouTube or off Twitter or off, you know, what's it called now? Cancel culture. They cancel you out. So this is what they were talking about. And Vinny said he's been warning about this since 2001. And we're at a point now where we still could turn it around. But what he said, and this is the first time he was so explicit in this, is that turning it around will require the re-election of Donald Trump. With all the flaws that he has, he's the one person who could move to shut down this security state.
Well, this is exactly what I was going to ask you next. These fixed polls, just like the polls we saw in the last election showing Clinton beating Trump from coast to coast, we're seeing polls now suggesting that Biden is by far and away the front runner. A new poll here from The Hill showing Biden leads Trump by 6 points in Florida. In your view, what does this nation become? What does it look like 4 years or 5 years from now if Biden becomes president?
Well, my view is that we shouldn't even speculate on that. We have to defeat Biden. Now, you know, the idea that a guy can sit in a basement, make a few offhanded jokes with his former boss, Barack Obama, and otherwise say nothing of substance for 6 months, that he's a front runner in a moment of real crises in the world, is a joke. Now, the joke in the polls, you know, I think we should take all these polls with a grain of salt, because there are a lot of people who will say, ah, I'll vote for Biden. Or they'll read that the polls are saying Biden's going to win, so they'll say Biden, but they may not even vote. So there is an element in the polls of a self-fulfilling effort to convince people who are with Trump that you're going to lose and you shouldn't support him, and with the people of Biden that they should go out and vote. But you know, there's still a lot of time before the election and a lot of things that can happen. To get to your question, Biden would be worse than Hillary Clinton, because Biden wouldn't be running anything. You'd have people like Hillary Clinton, the Obamas, Susan Rice, John Brennan, the Clappers and the Comeys and the criminals, who would basically be the ones running a Biden administration. They may not even let him out of his basement if he's president. So I think what we're looking at is an extremely dangerous situation. And it's made more dangerous by the fact that there are still a bunch of I would say, enemies of the president who are involved in making policy in his administration, so that his policies are not so clear. What he's trying to do is no longer so clear. It's been somewhat distorted by people like Pompeo. If you want, I can go through what Pompeo did in London the last couple of days, where he basically embraced people who ran Russiagate. So it's not surprising that people are confused, but a clear, strong message from the president, which calls Americans back to the mission of making our nation a great example for the world. And you know what? He just did that. July 3rd at Mount Rushmore, he gave a beautiful statement about what America is about. And that's what I think he needs to stick to inspire the youth of this country and the people who voted for him in 2016 to realize that if you want to change this country, you can do it. But we don't need the kind of change that Biden and his people are talking about, which is going to destroy what's left of our economy. We need to go back to the real American system of physical economic production. And that's what he talked about in the Mount Rushmore speech. So, yeah, I would put the polls aside and look at them as psychological operations designed to demoralize the reasonable people and hype up the idiots.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things that I'm really struck by, though, with all of the Antifa and Black Lives Matter chaos going on in mostly Democrat-run cities is just what a clear and present danger these Democrats are. When Hillary was running for president, obviously I was concerned, I was nervous, I would have been absolutely appalled and upset and out of my mind if she had won because, you know, I read all the Podesta emails. I read all the WikiLeaks documents.
Yeah.
I know about the Clinton body count. I know about the Arkansas drug running with the CIA and MENA. I know the history of these people. But I didn't really have any idea, Harley, how corrupt pretty much all of the Democrats are. Look what's happening in these cities. I mean, it's just beyond the pale. I think they are truly a clear and present danger to our constitutional republic. Not just Hillary Clinton, not just Joe Biden, not just Barack Obama, the whole lot of them.
Well, the Democratic Party became a owned lock, stock, and barrel by the radicals of Wall Street, the Davos billionaires, the Silicon Valley Hollywood billionaires, and they have a very different view of what America should be. And essentially, it's a society in which those billionaires run everything, and the people who they claim they're going to help and support are left with almost nothing. But you know, and there's no one who is willing to pile on to these corrupt Democrats more than me, but I would add one other factor here, that you have to look at the effect of neoliberalism on both parties, because you have a lot of Republicans who work behind the scenes with the Democrats to frustrate the president in his efforts. You know, for example, getting the troops out of Afghanistan to fulfill a promise to end these endless wars. Trump has been doing everything possible, including meeting with the Taliban, including working with the Russians and others to establish the conditions where we can bring our troops home. And what happens? 44 Republicans and Democrats in the House Intelligence Committee or Armed Services Committee voted against his proposal, and only 11 supported him. When he wanted to pull the troops out of Syria, the Senate, 98-0, voted against his proposal. So we've got corruption in both parties because of the money interests, the Wall Street, the central banks. Another example, the bailout, the so-called CARES Act, which put a little bit of money in people's pocket, a tiny bit of money in small business, and $4 to $8 trillion in the hands of swindlers and speculators. Did anyone in the Congress vote against it? One person, Tom Massey of Kentucky. So the corruption is deep in both parties. Then you look at the permanent bureaucracy. You know, the decision of Attorney General Barr, the correct decision to annul the Flynn case, to drop the Flynn case. 2,000 former Justice Department officials come out and call for Barr to resign. Then when he acted to reduce the Stone sentence, you had a similar response. And then when Trump commuted Roger Stone's sentence, which I wish he would have given him a pardon, but the commutation is fine, you have the same blowback from the permanent bureaucracy. So what we sometimes call the deep state are these people who by passive commission go along with the most corrupt murderers and swindlers running the country. And it's deep in the political party system. It's deep in the institutions. It's not so deep in the American people. The American people want justice, but with the media so corrupt and with the suppression of information, including the continuous attacks on your site and on some of the other sites like it, we see an absolute inability to get a clear, coherent picture to the American people of what's being done to us. So it's not surprising that people are confused. The fact that Trump won in 2016 showed that people were not submitting to the establishment and to Hillary Clinton. Now, one final point on the whole Democratic Party thing. I'm reading these reports from some of my friends on the inside who are involved in discussions and looking very closely into the strategy for the 2020 election. And what we're seeing is that the Biden team, the people running Biden, are moving more and more towards Susan Rice as a vice presidential candidate. Now, this has to be shut down as quickly as possible because she was one of the key people in the Obama administration who crafted the strategy which became Russiagate. She's a Brzezinski Madeleine Albright protege, a cold warrior, part of the grouping that supported the Islamic terrorists that Michael Flynn was exposing. So I think it's important. And by the way, when you talk about the Democrats, you've got to look at what Hillary Clinton did in Libya to make sure that arms got to the terrorists, not just in Libya, but then transported into Syria. And that's what Flynn was exposing, and that's why he was attacked.
Well, I think you're right over the target, as usual. The thing that kills me about these Democrats, though, is that to me at this point, they seem like a fifth column, right? What is that, guys? A fifth column is any group of people who undermine a larger group from within, usually in favor of an enemy group or nation. The activities of a fifth column can be overt or clandestine. Forces gathered in secret can mobilize openly to assist an external attack. You and I have talked in the past about the Weather Underground, okay? Bill Ayers, a plan to usher in communism into the United States. So when we talk about a fifth column, I think of people like Ilhan Omar, who literally can commit marriage fraud, tax fraud, immigration fraud. She can marry her lover and divorce her husband and funnel more than $1 million to the new husband's company now that she's a congresswoman. These people get away with all measure of crime, and they're trying to dismantle the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Well, let me make a suggestion in terms of how to look at this thing, because what we're talking about is not a communist underground. We're talking about a bunch of muddle-headed youth who are, in many cases, on drugs, alcoholic, unemployed, lots of time on their hands, social media intervention, no discipline, who are getting recruited by billionaires. Now, what's the agenda of the billionaires? Now, as bad as George Soros is, I don't think he's a communist. He's a classic example of a fascist. These are people who believe, that, like the Davos crowd, that they're superior genetically, that they were endowed by God with special powers that made them rich, that give them the capability to manipulate and destroy. What's their agenda? Their agenda is not to level the society and lose their billions. It's to make more billions for them while impoverishing and killing off the so-called useless eaters. So the Agenda 2030, all these things, they're real. There's a real intent by the Gateses and the Bezos and the crowd that works with Soros to destroy the idea of a constitutional republic and to destroy the idea of sovereignty and set up a world order which is governed by corporate cartels. And the corporate cartels rule over and above the nation states. It's a supranational regime. This is what George H.W. Bush meant when he was talking about the New World Order. So rather than, you know, assume that there's some kind of secret order of communist cells building and growing, you do have anarchists and potential terrorists being recruited and funded and trained. I mean, Soros and his buddies are giving over $120 million to the Black Lives Matter group. But their intent is not a global communist order. It's a top-down dictatorship in which the few rule and the rest of us live as peons and slaves or are killed off, because their view is that the world shouldn't have more than a billion people. And they've written about it. They've discussed it. And you have people in the government. The Green New Deal would not support 330 million people in the United States. If we get a Biden, Ocasio-Cortez Green New Deal, the U.S. population will drop to under 100 million. Because we won't have enough production to sustain the whole population. And that's their intent, and you can read it in what they write. So I think it's not so much the Communist Manifesto as a real eugenics, Nazi-like attitude, which sees nothing divine in human beings except in themselves.
Well said. All right, let me show you this. We can round out the conversation with, I think, good news, bad news. Bad news is this stuff is going on globally. Good news is it's coming to light. I'm talking about child and human trafficking, the trafficking of children and pedophilia online and the dark web, the torture, murder of children. This is stuff that Vice very recently called an urban legend, saying things like this don't exist. This is the Dutch National Police raiding one of these facilities that was set up to kidnap kids and torture and murder them. This happened on June 22nd, Harley. They've been tracking this organization in two different locations since April. They arrested six men, and I think the good news is, you know, people like Ghislaine Maxwell have been arrested. She holds the keys to the castle, and thank God this stuff is finally coming to light, because the mainstream media likes to tell us it's only a conspiracy theory and horrible stuff like that doesn't actually happen.
Well, you know, here's an interesting example of the way the lies work. You know, the whole Russiagate was premised on two pillars. One was the so-called hacking story from CrowdStrike, which it turns out now CrowdStrike admits they had no evidence. The FBI had no evidence. There was never any evidence of a Russian hack. The second part of it was the Christopher Steele document, which the FBI knew before they started to investigate the so-called Crossfire Hurricane. They knew it was a fraud. So these are out in the open now. Yet people are still talking about Russia, Russia, Russia. There's a new story that came out today in London, or yesterday, in the Parliament, where they said they now have the evidence that the Russians caused the Brexit vote to pass. And they said, well, we'll probably never be able to prove it or get the evidence to back it, but we know it's true. And you know who helped write that report? Christopher Steele. Yeah. And in the Parliament, they praised Steele for his work in that. And when Mike Pompeo was in London the last couple of days, he said, good work in going after the Russians. Now, here's an interesting thing, and this is just a sidelight from the Binney press conference. But Bill Binney briefed Pompeo when Pompeo was CIA's director at the request of Donald Trump. Trump asked Pompeo to meet with Binney to see what Binney had that showed there was no Russian hacking. Binney presented it to Pompeo. Pompeo never said anything about it. Now, some people say Pompeo didn't talk about it because that would spoil the plan to let the whole thing unfold over the next 3 years. Well, if that's actually the plan, it's a stupid plan because so much damage has been done by letting this thing continue and build over the last 3 years. But more likely is the fact that Pompeo didn't expose it because he's a part of it. Who did he hobnob with when he was in London? The Henry Jackson Society, which is made up of the very same people that formed the core of the Never Trump movement in the United States, the Bush 43 neocon networks that founded this Henry Jackson Society to attack Trump's idea of cooperation with the great powers. So Pompeo is at the core of this. And you know, then you look at the question of child trafficking. You look at why these things continue. Because you have people in power who either are part of it or it doesn't affect their agenda, so they ignore it. And so someone like Trump comes in saying he's going to clean this stuff up, and he's had nothing but 3.5 years of lies and slanders. So I hope people will take the time to go look at the press conference from Bill Binney. Sean, I think you've been one of the few people who's continually shined the light on these kinds of corruptions and swindles. And there's a whole lot more we could talk about in terms of the financial stuff, but we'll save that for another day, I think.
Yeah. Just to dot an I and cross a T and support what you were just saying, the swamp is so incredibly deep. Hundreds of George W. Bush officials have endorsed Biden. Guys, I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. And, of course, where do we get this news? We have to go to Al Jazeera because, well, of course the mainstream media would happily trumpet this, but the 43 alumni for Biden's super PAC seeks to unseat Donald Trump, who they say is unfit to lead the United States. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is having a very difficult time stringing a sentence together. So you tell me who's unfit. Harley, you know how much I appreciate you and your time. Tell people how they can find you.
Well, I have an ongoing correspondence with a lot of your viewers, You can reach me through my personal email at harleysch@gmail.com. That's harleysch@gmail.com.